join you in a little fun. But I won't take second billing. I've got to be your number one. I'm ready to give you my heart, dear. I'm willing to hand you the key. And I'm able to say from the start, dear, it's never belonged to anyone else but me. Oh, I'm ready, I'm willing and able. So if you want a love that's true, just lay your cards on the table. I've got lots of ammunition, ready, willing, and I'm able. So if you want a love that's true, just lay your cards on the table. Cause honey, honey, now it's up to you.
Hello.
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 Scotland calling, Miss Doris Day.
Oh, hello. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
Well, I'm fine, but something funny happened today. Usually I'm finished feeding all my animals by this time. And today it just so happened that I was running late and I've been flying around here trying to get everything done. And I'm not quite finished, but...
you just carry on.
Yeah, I'll just carry on, and I'll continue feeding while
we have a little chat. Yeah, Doris, yeah. Doris, thank you very much indeed for agreeing to join us on the program.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Well, when you talk about your animals, Doris, I mean, I know that there is the Doris Day Animal League, but how did all this come about?
Oh, well, it started when I was very young, of course. You know, I love animals so much. I've always had them, and the only time that I couldn't is when I was on the road with Les Brown. That was a problem, you see.
Mm.
And because of traveling and, you know, living in hotel rooms and leaving your pet in a hotel room, which I would never do. So I couldn't travel with the band and have a pet. And, I was just lonely for a pet. And so the minute Warner Brothers signed me, I had two poodles.
Into the contract.
Oh, fast.
Are you a dog lover or a cat lover, Doris, or both?
I have both.
Do you?
I have lots of cats, lots of dogs. I would have one of everything or two of everything if I could, but I can't do it. You know, I'm busy all the time as it is.
So do you actually are they pets for yourself, or do you take other animals in that may be in danger or not being looked after? What is the Doris Day Animal League?
Well, for myself, I'm talking about myself.
Yeah.
Mine are all, they've all been rescued. And I don't really know where they came from or anything else. People call and say, I have to get rid of my dog, which is a phrase that I can hardly bear. You don't get rid of a dog, you get rid of old clothing, but you don't get rid of a creature.
Mm.
They should call and say, I would like to try to find another good home for my dog or my cat. But they don't do that. Anyway, that's beside the point. I just have accumulated four-leggers. Yeah, but I love them. They're all my babies. I have a large piece of property. I have almost 11 acres.
Right.
And but across this big valley here, surrounding my property, there are some homes over there, and so I don't want to annoy anyone, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm very careful about noise, and so far, everything has been just fine.
Everything's fine. So that the animals really take up your life now then, Doris, do they?
Well, not every minute, but just about. Yeah. I do, you know, my friends always say, oh, can't you get out to dinner? But that's the most difficult thing for me to do because my last lady who works here, she leaves about 7 o'clock in winter and 8 o'clock in summer. And so, you know, nobody wants to eat at 4:30. They say, what? I say, well, you can beat the clock. Do you have that in Scotland?
Yes, indeed. Yes,
in beating
yes.
the clock, you get there at 4:30 and you get a cheap dinner.
All right. No, we don't have that. No, you.
Oh, you don't?
Oh, no, that's like getting in before everyone else, is it?
Yeah, that's right. You beat the clock and get there at 4:30. You pay about half the price, and so I'm always making a joke and saying, well, wouldn't you like to, you know, take me to dinner and just have half price?
Half price dinners.
Our lips shouldn't touch.
Move over, darling.
I like it too much.
Move over, darling.
That gleam in your eyes is no big surprise anymore. 'Cause you fooled me before. I'm all in a spin.
Move over, darling.
About to give in. To fight it somehow, 'cause I want you right now. The way you sigh has me waving my conscience bye-bye. You can call me a fickle thing, but I'm practically yours forever, because
you're to be kissed.
Move over, darling.
How can I?
Doris, one of the reasons that I wanted to speak to you, and hopefully our listeners, I know from the mail that I've had, wanted to hear from you. You have been, and you are, one of the most requested artists on the programme. You also have been previously voted by our listeners as their all-time favourite singer. I mean, show business, does that seem a long time away from you? I mean, it's a different world now, Doris.
You mean since I've been in films? And
yes, yes.
And all that? No, it seems like last week.
Really?
Oh, you know, there is no time, really, is there? I mean, it just gets light and it gets dark and it mm-hmm. gets light and it gets dark. And we shouldn't just keep track of time. And I can't believe, you know, that I'm living in Carmel as long as I've been here. It seems like just a few years. And it's, you know, many more than that. But it's just, unless you're terribly bored and depressed all the time, time flies.
It flies through, doesn't it? Yes.
It flies when you're really enjoying. And I enjoy my home. It's wonderful. And my property. And I enjoy gardening. I love all the flowers. And I have a beautiful little guest cottage that I... decorate and keep fixed beautifully for my friends when they come, and And I just love, you know, putting fresh flowers in there for them. It's just so much fun. And then, you know, I'm just busy all the time. So there's no time to get bored and down about things. And time just goes quickly.
We're approaching the time of the year that is very special for families and for children, obviously, coming up to Christmas time. Going back to your childhood, I mean, was it a happy household, Doris?
Well, my parents didn't stay together, but as young as I was, I felt, and so did my brother, that it was for the best.
Mm-hmm.
I remember, as little as we were, discussing that. And we felt, you know, we used to wonder how they ever got together, because they were so different. They didn't like the same things, and they didn't want to do the same things, naturally. It was just a strange thing. Yet they were both terrific, but it was best that they went their own ways.
It was the best way to go for the family, obviously.
Yeah, so it was okay. Mm. And I didn't feel, you know, badly about it. I felt good about it for both of them. And we always had a lot of fun because I wasn't close to my father's family because he wasn't. But I was very close to my mother's. My uncles and aunts, I just adored them. And we were around them all the time, my brother and I and my mother. And so we used to just have a fabulous time. Christmas, you know, was just very exciting and very special, and all the holidays were because of her family.
Mm. Dad was a music teacher, wasn't he? That must
yes.
have been fun in the household.
Well, he was everything. He was organist at the church, had a huge choir. He was the director of big song groups, because, you see, Cincinnati's very German, and the Germans love to sing.
Right.
And so they all belonged to clubs that they got together to sing. And they, all of them, I guess my father had five every week, you know, every night. Not five every night, but he had one huge group
mm-hmm.
every night.
Right.
And he directed them. And so he was busy all the time. He was busy in the day, and he was busy at night. And but I went a few times, and I thought it was fabulous. He was an incredible musician. And he would have hundreds of voices in each one. And then he taught theory, he taught violin, he taught organ. He taught everything. And he was an organist at 16 years of age. So he was sort of a child prodigy.
Right. Did he actually, at that early stage, Doris, did he spot the potential in his young daughter?
Oh, I don't think so.
No?
No. He wanted me to take piano lessons. And I you know, oh, if only I had. I started, but I was such a playgirl after school that whenever it was time for my lesson, I used to say, oh, Dan, we have a ball game tonight, and I have to be there. And I kept pulling that, you know, constantly. And my dancing lessons, they were the most important things to me, and I had to go to dancing school after class, you know, after school was out. And so he just gave up on me, which was silly. He should never have done that. He gave up on me. He said, no, I don't want to teach you. She isn't practicing.
That's right,
She doesn't know her lessons, and I'm not going to teach her. And I regret that. That's the only thing that I think I regret.
When I was just a little girl, I asked my mother, what will I be? Will I be pretty? Will I be rich? Here's what she said to me. Que sera, sera. Whatever will be, the future's not ours to see. Que sera, sera, what will be, when I grew up and fell in love, I asked my sweetheart what lies ahead.
what my sweetheart said. Que sera, sera. Whatever will be. The future's not ours to see. Que sera, sera. What will be. Now I have children of my own. They ask their mother, what will I be? Will I be handsome? Will I be rich? I tell them tenderly. Que sera, sera. Whatever will be. The future's not ours to see. Que sera, sera. What will be, que sera, sera.
You had a real passion for dancing, though, didn't you, as you mentioned there? Yeah.
I loved it. Loved it. I took about four or five different lessons a week. Yes, and then when I had the accident, you know, the train wreck.
Right.
That really put a stop to that. For
That must have really been a blow to someone so young who had put so much into dancing.
Yes. Oh, it was. But as I look back, I don't. You know, I'm very pliable. I'm like an elastic band. I bounce back. Hey, Fred.
Hey, Fred. In the middle of a radio show here,
That's
for goodness'
Fred.
Sake. That's
Fred.
Fred.
He thinks he's the boss of my big dog kitchen.
Oh, I see, right.
And he acts like it, too. You see what happens when you call me?
Oh, wonderful.
Anyway, getting back to the accident. Yes, it was just an amazing thing to go through. But I was so young. And I've never been one to get down about things and depressed. I've always looked on the positive side of everything. And so when I, couldn't walk for such a long time and get around, I amused myself doing other things. And my mother brought in a ukulele, which I fooled around with but didn't do much with. And then someone suggested that I study singing and take some lessons. And I loved that. I started, and I had a wonderful coach, and I used to have to be carried to her apartment. And she was such a wonderful, wonderful woman. Her name was Grace Raine, R-A-I-N-E, and she used to be at the big radio station in Cincinnati, WLW.
Right.
And she couldn't sing a note herself, but she was a marvelous coach. And then the rest is history.
It's history.
When I was able to walk, you know, I started singing.
Right.
Because I was afraid a little bit because my leg wasn't strong, you know. And I was in a cast for so long that I was very aware that I had to be careful. And I didn't dance again until I went to Warner Brothers. And that was, quite a few years later.
That was the turning of it into films and everything as well. But can I just take you back there to, you mentioned, you missed your pets when you went on the road with Les Brown. When you teamed up with Les Brown, and of course he composed Sentimental Journey, was that a song that you enjoyed singing?
Oh, I loved it. And at rehearsal, we were playing at the Pennsylvania Hotel in New York. And I know you remember that great Glenn Miller record, Pennsylvania 65000.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the phone number. And we all loved playing that beautiful dining room there for the dinner show, and then we would have an hour off and play till maybe 2 in the morning. And then after we were finished at night, a couple of times a week, we would rehearse new things. And all of a sudden, he hands me a copy of Sentimental Journey. And the band started playing it, and I thought, oh, isn't this wonderful? I just loved what I was hearing. And I rehearsed it with the band, and everybody in the band, they all said, wow, this has to be huge. Has to be. And the next night, we played it in the dining room. And the applause, I remember, was deafening. The people dancing just stopped. It was incredible. They knew that this was very, very important, a song. And that's how it happened. And Les and I recorded it immediately.
Sentimental journey, gonna set my heart at ease, gonna make a sentimental journey to renew old memories. Got my bag, got my reservation, spent each dime I could afford, like a child in wild anticipation, long to hear that all aboard. 7, that's the time we leave at 7. I'll be waiting up for takes me back. Never thought my heart could be so yearning. Why did I decide to roam? Gotta take that sentimental journey, sentimental.